This is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. Reverend Dr. William Barber, the president of the National Carolina NAACP, leader of Moral Mondays, whose effectiveness of organizing and of organization of the Moral Mondays movement has lifted him into the ranks of national civil rights leadership.
He's helping transform the political landscape of North Carolina and sparking progressive activism in other states as well. He provides the rationale and inspiration for calling this nation to justice, equality, and compassion through his extraordinary coalition-building skills.
You'll find that his is one of the voices we've been waiting to hear for a long time, Reverend Dr. William Barber.
We need a deep, structured, sustained, prophetic moral movement because we must know there is a better way. This nightmare of regressive public policy, oppressive politics are taking us in the wrong direction. These backward policies and oppressive politics want us to accept an anemic faith, but we must not do so. 2 years ago, before many of you had heard about the Forward Together Moral Movement, we took a poverty tour across North Carolina. We called it putting a face on poverty because sometimes our liberal friends, we're good at statistics, but people need to see the faces. So one day we went on a tour, we were invited to walk down a path into the woods, and we were confronted with a fresh reality of man's inhumanity to man. As we walked along the path, we saw baby dolls and toys, eerie signs that there were children amidst all our affluence, amidst all our wealth, amidst all our national claim to be one nation. There were children living under and beneath the trees and bushes of the woods like animals. When we got to the community in the middle of the woods, we were met by God's family. Black, brown, white, male, female, immigrant. I was brought to uncontrollable tears when our new friends welcomed us. You see, I had been welcomed in the General Assembly with seven other ministers earlier that year. We got arrested for challenging a state budget that divested services to the poor. We got arrested because we stood up in the balcony like this one and simply asked the Speaker of the House a question that I thought he should be familiar with since he swore himself into office on a Bible. What doth the Lord require? And in the people's house built with my money, I was arrested. But in the woods, they swept the dirt. I said, wait a minute, Reverend. Let me make a place for you among the grass. They told us of how often the authorities would come out to their small community and run them out of the woods because the city didn't want to acknowledge its level of devastating poverty. And one lady named Denise said, I'll probably never see you again after this visit. They'll probably arrest me and drive me out of here. And yet in that same city, like so many other places, politicians opened their meetings with prayers. Standing in those woods, however, it seemed like I heard God saying what he said in Isaiah 55. Is this the kind of fast that I require to put on pious long faces and parade around solemnly in the black? This is the kind of fast I'm after. Break the chains of exploitation. Get rid of exploitation in the workplace. Free the oppressed. Cancel the debt. Bring the poor into your home. Right there in those woods, crying uncontrollably, seemed like I heard God saying, come out of the exile of the religion of hypocrisy and idolatry and self-worship that only sustains oppression rather than alleviate. Get focused on the weightier matters. We got to do something, y'all. We're in a strange time. We're the richest nation on earth and the poorest nation both at the same time. Poverty numbers, especially child poverty numbers, are higher than any other advanced Western democracy, according to the UNC Poverty Center. We add to that the greatest gaps between the rich and the poor since we started collecting data. And the South, the native home of American poverty, where we have more poor people, more political leaders that are utterly untroubled by it. 10 of the country's poorest 12 states are Southern. Though about 15% of Americans live in poverty, poverty in Mississippi is 23%, Louisiana 22, Arkansas 20, Georgia 19, South Carolina 19, Texas 19, and North Carolina over 19. The former Confederate states set the standard for American economic deprivation. We also lead the nation in those without health coverage of any kind. Texas paves the way with an astonishing 25%. Louisiana, 21%. Florida, 21%. South Carolina, 20%. Georgia, almost 20%. Mississippi, 19%. North Carolina, almost 19%. And oddly, in the very place where we have the most people uninsured, not black people, but the most people uninsured, we also have the leaders in those states who are most opposed to health care reform. We need a movement of moral dissent, and it's necessary now. Somebody must stand and say it doesn't matter what party's in power. One thing I love about the Forward Together Moral Monday movement, you all may have just heard about it this year, but we challenge Democrats too. What you see in North Carolina is built on 7 years of organizing, even when Democrats were in office, because it doesn't matter what party is in power. Doesn't matter who has a political supermajority. There are some things that transcend political majority and mere majority politics. There are some things that are too big for a liberal conservative conversation. There are some things that must be challenged because they are extreme, they are immoral, they are just wrong. We need a movement that make them hear you how that justice was our battle and how justice was denied. Make them hear you and say to those who blame us for the way we choose to fight that sometimes there are battles which are more than black and white. Make them hear you. We need a moral movement across the nation. And listen, an indigenously homegrown led, not superheroes flying into each state, but we need to raise up homegrown leaders. State-based, state government-focused that is deeply moral, deeply constitutional, anti-racist, anti-poverty, pro-justice, pro-labor, transformative fusion movement. We need a movement that is about the moral fabric of our society. We need a movement where we build relationships that are long-term, not based on one-issue campaign, where we challenge the greatest myth of our time, and that is the myth of extreme policy, that they only hurt a small subset of people, such as people of color or the poor or people in the LGBT community, when in fact extreme policies hurt us all. We need a moral movement. Listen, we need a moral movement with a southern context that has some northern connections. Lord have mercy. We need a moral movement that understands if you want to change America, you got to think states. And if you really want to think states, you got to think southern states. A movement that understands we cannot afford to be ahistorical. Anti-racism and anti-poverty must always remain at the heart of our struggle. We need a movement. Yes. We need a movement of grassroots organizing in every state. We need a movement of civil disobedience where needed in every state. We need a movement of voter registration and education guided by our deepest value. And we need a movement that builds transformative long-term coalition. We need a movement, not a moment. We need a revival, not a rally. We must move forward together and declare we're not going to take one step back. Yes. Keeping millions of poor people from seeing a doctor when they are sick is not just bad policy, it's immoral and hypocritical. Kicking hardworking people who lost their jobs of no fault of their own off unemployment benefits and refusing to pay people living wages and giving tax cuts to the very wealthy is not just bad policy, it's immoral and it's hypocritical when aligned with the deepest values of our faith. Trying to undermine public education and give the money to private-owned businesses is immoral and hypocritical in the face of our deepest faith values. Trying to destroy labor rights and collective bargaining in a time when corporations are making more than they've ever made before is immoral and it's hypocritical. Having the nerve to sing America, America, God shed his grace on thee, but then denying grace to women and grace to the LGBT community and grace to immigrant rights whose families are being torn apart. It's immoral. It's hypocritical. We need a movement. That's why we started the Forward Together Tomorrow Monday movement in North Carolina. In the face of extremism on steroids that took over. And not because the governor is Republican. We went to him and asked him to join us. We asked him to be like his founder, Lincoln. But instead, they chose the path of aggressivism. And we recognize that we needed a movement because moral dissenters helped to destroy the myth and the delusion of domination. And so on April 29th of last year, the season of Pentecost, it started because during Holy Week last year, after denying 500,000 people Medicaid and 170,000 people unemployed and taking 900,000 people's earned income tax credit and cutting taxes for 11% and raising taxes on 89% and taking $1 billion from public education, driving us lower than Mississippi, then during Holy Week, they passed a bill before the Shelby case that was the worst attack on voting rights we'd seen since Jim Crow. And right then, some of us decided that if they were going to crucify people's hopes and dreams and then crucify people's right to vote, every crucifixion needs a witness. And so on April 29th, 17 of us were arrested for civil disobedience. We went in to sing, pray, and hold up signs. They said we got arrested for singing, praying, and talking loud. That's preaching. But the next week, 34 came. The next week, 68. We didn't know this was going to start like this, but we knew something was up. The signs were telling us that somebody had to stand up. And just maybe if somebody would say something, God would a little wind on the dry bones. And since that time, nearly 1,000 have been arrested. Thousands have joined. Preachers and priests and rabbis and imams have come from everywhere. They called us morons when we started. They called us foolish when we started. But then on February the 8th of this year, nearly 100,000 people showed up. And they said, uh-oh. Yeah. Now we have more than 1 million hits on social media. We have 120 pro bono lawyers who, when they heard what we were doing, said, I've been waiting on something to do with this law degree. We've had more than 100 actions across the state. Even in so-called Republican counties, we're going in those counties and finding out that when you get away from merely talking about Republican and Democrat to talk about what's right and what's wrong, you'll be surprised. Now the movement is spreading all over the nation, and they called us morons. The governor did, and we prayed for him, and now he was at 50%, but now his numbers are 30% and dropping. The legislature was at 40%. Now their numbers are 19% and dropping. And we aren't through yet. We're still marching. I just got back from Ohio, where they're starting talking about moral money in Ohio, in Louisiana, in Missouri, in Arkansas, in Florida, in South Carolina, in New York. People are understanding. We need a moral movement now. Now. So, I'm glad it's our time now. Others have come before us, but I went by the grave of Dr. King and I called him and he didn't get up. He's not getting up, but we are his children. Harriet Tubman is not getting up. Fannie Lou Hamer's not getting up, but we are their children. It's time now to focus on the more weightier matters. A movement that says it's time to secure pro-labor, anti-poverty policies that ensure economic sustainability. It's time to provide well-funded public education for all. It's time to promote health care for all, including expansion of Medicaid and protection for women's health and assurance of environmental justice in every community. It's time to address the continuing inequalities in the criminal justice system and to ensure equality under the law for every person, regardless of their color or their income. And it's time to protect and defend and expand voting rights and women's rights and LGBT rights and immigrants' rights. It's time to live out everything we said when we declared that we have equal protection under the law, regardless of who we are. It's our time. It's our time to restore the kind of prophetic hope and imagination that gives us the courage to break free from the lies of domination. It's time for us to be that generation that makes contemporary the call of Micah. What doth the Lord require but to do justice and love mercy? It's time to remind those in seats of power, as the Jewish prophet Isaiah did in Isaiah 10, when he said, "Woe unto those who legislate evil, who write oppressive decrees that rob the poor of their rights." It's time for us to quote what Jesus said would be the ultimate standard of our living, not just in the church house, but in the state house, even in the White House. "For I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was sick and you looked after me." When, Lord, did we do that? "Inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me." It's time. Since sometime the extremists want to pick up the Constitution, we ought to say, "Bring it on, baby. Let's dust off that Constitution and read it afresh. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare." It's time that somebody stand up and say, "If welfare is in the preamble of the Constitution, how dare we make it a bad word in America?" And if we follow God's values, we can use global technology and the green economy and targeted economics and infrastructure investment and total access to education and creative job creation strategy to address the ugly realities of poverty. If we follow the ethic of love and justice, we can beat our swords of racism into plows that will till the new soil of brotherhood and sisterhood. We can go to higher ground. If we see the poor as our neighbors, if we remember we are our brother's keeper, then we shall put the poor rather than the wealthy at the center of public policy. We can go to higher ground. If we hold on to God's values, the sick will have good health care. The environment will be protected. The injustices of our judicial system shall be made just. We shall respect the dignity of all people. We can love all people. We can see all people as God's creation. We can move to higher ground. We can use our resources to develop our minds and our economy rather than build bombs and missiles and weapons of human destruction. We can move to higher ground. And this is the question before us, Riverside, as a nation. Do we want to keep pressing toward God's vision? Do we want a just, wholesome society? Or do we want to go backwards? This is the question before us. Somebody understands that there are some weightier matters. Somebody wants to make their way to higher ground. There are still some prophetic people who have not bowed as a matter of faith. They know that love is better than hate. Hope is better than despair. Community is better than division. Peace is better than war. Good of the whole is better than the whims of a few. There are still some people who believe in higher ground. Do I have a witness? Those of us who love freedom and justice are being called to take this nation from the lowlands of injustice and division to higher ground. Higher ground we're being called to. That's what we deserve. Too many tears have been cried. Too many people have sacrificed, bled, and died for us to settle for anything less than higher ground. We cannot allow this nation or our world to wallow in the valley of injustice without a moral witness that says we don't have to stay here. We can reach higher ground. We can be moral. We can educate our children. We can heal our sick. The soul and the heart of our society can be made better. We can refuse to believe the myths of domination and the falsehoods of inequality. We are better than meanness and extremism. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And so it's time. It's time to dig a little deeper, work a little harder, organize a little better. It's movement time. And I heard that if God be for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. When it's movement time by the Spirit, one can chase 1,000. Two can put 10,000 to flight. Yes, you might be talked about and you might be buked and scorned. You might even be arrested and you might be crucified. But remember, you get crucified on higher ground. So no matter how tough things are, no matter how antithetical things are to the values of God, remember, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Hold on to faith. Hold on to hope. Hold on to the weightier matters. Still believe that we can move upward. Trust. If you focus on weightier matters, then God will weigh in. When Moses focused on the weightier matter, then God weighed in. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego focused on weightier matters, then God weighed in. When Rosa Parks focused on weightier matters, then God weighed in. And when God weighs in, he can make a way out of no way. Lord have mercy, I'm through. When God weighs in, he can change hearts. When God weighs in, he can transform situations. So let us hold on to, in fact, we ought to start singing. We ought to start singing not just we shall overcome and we shall survive. We ought to start singing what the hymn writer sung. I believe this song, Dr. Ford, was written for a movement, a moral movement. It's a declaration. It says, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining. Every day, still praying as I'm homeward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire, my God, to stay where doubts and fear dismays. Though some may dwell, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift us up. Lord, lift us up. Let us stand. And a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant our feet on higher ground. Plant America on higher ground. Plant our nation on higher ground. Plant our people on higher ground.
You've been listening to Reverend Dr. William Barber from the pulpit of New York City's Riverside Church on Palm Sunday, and now is he joined in solidarity with low-wage workers in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Willing to work!
Willing to work!
Treat us right!
Treat us right!
We are!
We are!
Workers!
Workers!
We are!
We are!
The backbone!
The backbone!
Of America!
Of America!
Treat us right!
Treat us right!
Workers right!
Workers right!
As president of North Carolina NAACP, letting you know that we stand at our national, we passed an emergency resolution supporting fast food workers on this strike at our national convention. You ought to celebrate that. I want you to know you can't separate civil rights from workers' rights, and so we stand together. The reality is the fastest growing jobs in the United States are the lowest paid. That ain't right. Fast food provides most of the new jobs, but most workers are paid between $10,000 and $18,000 a year, which means fast food workers are the working poor. You work below the poverty line. Amen. Fast food workers are not paid enough money to afford basic needs like food and clothing and rent. And they often qualify for food stamps even while working full time. And even while the CEOs get more money and more money, we say that it's time out for a clown to get more respect than the workers that sell the hamburgers. It's time out for a phony king named Burger to be treated better than workers who go to work every day. The truth is, a healthy economy depends on businesses that pay enough, because when you're paid enough, it fuels the economy. Yeah. Say, we fuel,
the economy.
Our money,
spent
lifts America. We also know that the food, fast food industry is not broke. They can pay you what you deserve. Yeah. Say,
they are
not broke.
It's
a $200 billion industry. And that's why fast food workers are joining together to demand $15 an hour and the right to form a union without retaliation. Woo! Somebody shout, don't get it twisted.
Don't get it twisted.
We're not lazy.
We're not trying not to work.
We don't mind working. But we want a living wage.
$15 an hour.
And the right to form a union.
Without retaliation.
That's just right.
That's just right.
And the right time
to do right, right.
Is right now.
Is right now.
And so all over this country. Now I want to say to you as a preacher, this is a moral issue. I'm so tired of those who try to limit moral issues to where you stand on abortion and homosexuality and prayer. The biggest moral issue of all the religions, whether it's Christianity, Muslim, or Judaism, is how you treat workers. And how you treat the poor. When you make somebody work and they don't get the benefits of health insurance and time off and treat it right and a living wage, the fruit, say the fruit, of their own labor. And I stop by to tell you the fruit is spoiled. The fruit is spoiled when you can work in Kentucky Fried Chicken and can't even hardly buy the chicken that's there. The fruit is spoiled. The fruit is spoiled. When other people come in with health insurance and you serve them and you don't even have health insurance yourself, the fruit is spoiled. But you also are the new fruit, the fruit of a new movement, the fruit of a new beginning. And so finally today, we're calling on our congresspeople. We're even calling on the president. You know, the president can do one thing. He tomorrow could sign an executive order. He could sign an executive order demanding that every business that has a contract with the federal government has to pay a living wage. He could do it tomorrow. Our congresspeople could do it tomorrow. The senator, Senator Hagin, Senator Byrd, all of our, they could fight for it tomorrow, and we're calling on them to do that. Don't have to go through Congress, just an executive order. And so tomorrow, he could sign an executive order. We call on him to do that. If you do it, it'll make a difference in the lives of so many untold. And it's time for this country to do right by all workers. Workers' rights. Workers' rights. Our rights.
Pay us right.
Treat us right.
We
want to
work.
Want to have health insurance.
Pay us right.
Lift America.
And we will not stop
until that day comes. Now somebody scream.
725. We can't survive on 725. We can't survive on 725. We can't survive on 725.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.